The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
I tell you, with all the controversy and polarization in Israel at the moment, ani mekava shehakol yeh tov.
Okay, we all do. Indeed. In fact, we've already got someone weighing in on this. The reform movements are generally leftist. Leftists equal irreligious. Good for Bibi for defending his decision. Yashar koach to him. That's from Mervin. And so it begins, Rolene.
You know what, it's actually getting very, very ugly, and I'd actually like to take a little bit of a moment to be maybe a little vulnerable with you and your listeners. For some of us who are sort of in the public consciousness on radio, in the media, or whatever, and do opine on these issues, it's becoming extremely, extremely ugly. I myself am not a fan of terminology like snowflakes and libtards, and if you want thing, you are the other. I'm a secular Jew. I'm a woman, as you can no doubt tell maybe by my voice. And over the last, I'd say, couple of days, and Howard, you've also been the recipient of some heinous comments. But I've had comments so foul. In fact, somebody said to me today that because I do not observe the way they do, I am not welcome at the Kotel. That is so profoundly hurtful to me because I am a secular Jew. I have a kosher home. I'm an extremely spiritual and faithful person. And just because I don't do something the way that some people would like it to be done doesn't mean I'm anything less than. And comments like that, and comments the likes of which we've been hearing over the last couple of days, are creating a tremendous amount of hurt, are polarizing Jews around the world at a time where we cannot afford to be polarized. We cannot afford to be broken and disunified. And really, I urge people to maybe look at the bigger picture before making these flagrant, hurtful comments that are actually offensive, profoundly offensive.
So what's interesting to me is that I'm not sure there's anybody in this world that owns the moral high ground. And the concern that I have here is certainly the aggression. And Rolene, thank you for that. I think that was beautifully said. And I think you summarize a lot of the difficulty that is coming out that has surfaced, and the hatred and the anger that has surfaced. What I found with my article, and it was so interesting how people construed it the way they chose to, or they construed it along with a perception that they might have of me. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, I was called a traitor to the Jewish state yesterday on Facebook. Thousands of people read a comment that said, "You, Howard Feldman, are a traitor to the Jewish state." I challenge anybody to perhaps do what I do. But that's not even the issue. But because I don't take it seriously, the fact that somebody says it doesn't make it so. But it's an incredible thing. You know, if you want to disagree with a comment that Rolene Marks makes or Howard Feldman makes, then do so. But to stoop to a level of that, I found absolutely fascinating. I was told I'm intellectually dishonest. And why don't I just come out and say what I really mean? Not sure what that is, because I think I write from a very honest place. But it's really interesting to see it goes immediately towards name calling and labeling. And getting back to my point about the religious moral high ground is, I'm just not sure that anybody owns it. I would challenge somebody that might have a kippah, and I wear a kippah, but I know how imperfect I am. Certainly, I wouldn't be able to stand with any authority and say, I'm more religious than you, therefore I'm able to come to the Kotel. You're less religious, therefore, you know, we don't approve of that. Now, this we will approve of. You can be a little bit, in business, you might be a little bit dodge, but that's okay, because that's not the same thing. We've decided that this issue is the one that's going to prevent you from coming to the Kotel. I'm not sure that God appointed anyone like this.
And I just want to take a moment to talk about the Kotel. The cartel has sustained millions of Jews through the generations. When we dream about Jerusalem, we're not dreaming about the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or the Israel Museum, as beautiful as those buildings are. It is the cartel that has sustained us. It is the cartel that sustains our brothers and sisters around the world who are living with abject anti-Semitism. It is the cartel that has sustained generations upon generations upon generations through inquisition, through exile, through the Shoah, through wars here in Israel. When we heard those words 50 years ago, Howard, and we just commemorated 50 years of a unified Jerusalem, when we heard those words, HaKotel Beyadenu, the Kotel is in our hands. Nobody said, well, you who are this stream and not, maybe not that stream has a right to celebrate. The love, the joy, the celebration that that we felt at that moment. I mean, I wasn't born yet, and I mean, you were born yet, but it echoes through the generations. You know, these are the stories we will tell our children and our grandchildren. For the Jews of Ethiopia, the Jews of Yemen, the Jews of Sweden, the Jews of America, South Africa, everywhere, our hope is the Kotel. Everybody, when they pray, turns towards the Kotel. That's where we face. And the Kotel, for me, has been a place of, and is a place of, tremendous healing and holiness and sanctification. And to have this issue bring out this tremendous amount of abuse and aggression is, I think, those who are making these kinds of comments take a giant step back. A giant step back and have a look at the damage you are causing.
Interesting. Ansign says, Howard and Rolene, why are you taking opinions of the Mashuganas so seriously? Just ignore them. They are a tiny majority. You know, I really would like to think that that they are a tiny majority, but I have to tell you that the amount, and I've seen it within a even in a social environment, the amount of people that have reacted quite strongly to an article that I wrote, and the article really didn't even, I didn't even really give a view. My view was that we should look at the South African model, where in general, and of course we're imperfect, but in general we embrace rather than alienate. And it's worked. And we look at the Shabbos Project. We gain so much more by inviting people to dinner rather than throwing stones at them. And that was my approach. And yet that angered people, which is an incredible thing. How does that anger people? It's absolutely fascinating.
There is nothing more sacred to me, and I dedicate my life to it, than to standing up for the Jewish people. You know, for some people, to do ballet is a calling, or to teach is a calling. For me, to stand up for the Jewish people is a calling, and this is just so profoundly hurtful. And I know, Ansign, you say taking advantage of the Mashuganas. There's a point where the Mashuganas cross the line and it becomes sometimes violent, as we've seen at the cartel between the two sects, which is why I believe that the separation was perhaps necessary, because both sides provoked each other.
Absolutely. And Sand also saying, was it only religious soldiers that liberated the Kotel? And another saying, it's the thought of the third temple that has sustained us, not the Kotel. In other words, it's about a religious aspiration and not the wall itself. Well, I can, certainly with this level of sinat chinam, which is hatred towards our fellow Jew, I can tell you we ain't seeing the third temple anytime soon.
You know what? There's a saying amongst the Arabs. If you want to defeat the Jews, don't declare war on them. But we're declaring war on each other.
Mervyn saying they have to respect the Kotel. I'm assuming it's Kotel. He's left off a word there. But they have to respect the Kotel for what it stands for. The halachot are the same for a shul, which is separate agendas. Mervyn, that might well be, and I'm not disagreeing with that. As I've said, and I've said it repeatedly, I've never davened, I've never prayed in a mixed service. I have no intention of praying in a mixed service. It's not something that's important for me. It's not my derech. It's not my way. But that said, I just know unequivocally that the way in which we are dealing with this issue, all it's going to do is divide us as a people and not unite us. I'm not arguing a question of halakha. I'm not saying that everything is perfection and everybody needs to do that. That's the message. U.S. Ambassador Rolin is urging Jewish unity. He says he's not taking a stance on the Kotel.
He said, and he said that yesterday he heard something he never thought he would hear. He said that, first of all, he understands the source of frustration and anger. He said, but he heard a big Jewish organization say that it needs to reconsider its support for the state of Israel. And he says he never thought that he would ever hear this in his lifetime. And we have another situation in Chicago where ministers who have supported the conversion bill, which is another major, major controversy here at the moment, from the more ultra-religious sect, have been made unwelcome by the city of Chicago. And ironically, Chicago, the very city where in the gay pride parade, gay women were asked to leave the parade because their Magen David was deemed offensive and that it would and threatening.
Which is interesting because Hitler required Jews to wear exactly that, to label them.
Well, I saw a posting by a very, very well-known spokesperson who said perhaps this is more to the ilk of the organizers of that parade, which was the rainbow flag with the yellow star on that.
Absolutely.
Incidentally, Hitler did not divide us into streams of Jews when we were all marched into gas chambers.
Right. And, and as Ansan said, there were non-religious Jews that also liberated the Kotel. Let's not forget that. Mark is saying, keep up the good work, both of you. Thank you very much. Anonymous is saying, gosh, why don't us Jews wake up already and love each other? Well, certainly we're trying. Certainly it's not through lack of trying, not on this radio station. Anyway, Abbas has been blamed for three babies who have unfortunately died after he denied them entrance to Israel. What is the story?
This is also just so unbelievably upsetting. Abbas has denied three babies who needed life-saving surgery and medical attention. He denied them entry into Israel, and now they have died. And, to me, he sits now with blood on his hands for disallowing infants, babies, a chance to be saved, a chance to have that medical attention that they so desperately needed.
And what is the basis for the denial? Did he hope that Israel would be blamed?
Probably hope that Israel would be blamed. You know, we've seen this before. We've seen that we've seen women who are suffering from cancer come in and they are carrying suicide bomb artifacts, and they have been denied entry. And who gets blamed for it? Because nobody says Israel denies three women who are suffering from cancer access to medical care. They say Israel denies because they're carrying suicide vests. They say Israel denies that these cancer-stricken women are allowed in. But basically what has happened with these three infants is that the Gaza Health Ministry, which is run by Hamas, said on Tuesday that these kids were really in imminent danger of death. And because there is this internecine fighting and relations between Hamas and Fatah are so tense at the moment, the Palestinian Authority, who is responsible for allowing them access, denied them. And you can be sure that in the international media, Israel's going to be blamed for it.
And Ansan saying there is no level to which Abbas will not stoop. Absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. And Dennis Ross predicted Israel diaspora fallout.
Now, Dennis Ross is probably one of the foremost opinion makers and influencers when it comes to Jewish policy. And in an interview with R24 News, he said that if the government, and this was before the deal was actually reached, he said, if this deal is not reached, if there's failure to reach an agreement on creating an egalitarian prayer space at the Kotel, we are going to see a serious, serious decline in relations between Israel and its diaspora communities. He also included Natan Sharansky in this. I mean, we're talking about somebody like Natan Sharansky, who sat in the Gulag, who sat in jail in Siberia, a refusenik, because Zionism, Jerusalem, was at the center of his identity. He says that the danger of alienating a significant segment of American Jewry is very, very troubling, and this will create a huge decline in support for Israel. And you know, this affects a lot of areas. For a lot of organizations, Zionist organizations in Israel, a lot of our funding comes from America. Well, a lot of our donors are American.
I'll say that one of our listeners, also unsigned, saying this is all about funding. And obviously, one could be a bit cynical about that, because is that really... should that be Israel's motivation in solving it?
It's not the motivation. I think the motivation is, you know, trying to be democratic, trying to be egalitarian, but it does have a knock-on effect. It does have a knock-on effect when major donors in all aspects, everything from social welfare to supporting our soldiers to... some of the political campaigns, let's not kid here, because some of the donors for our parties do come from overseas.
Sure,
let's not kid
sure,
that.
Sure.
But for organizations who are responsible for Zionist education, for subsidies, for programs where people who've never had access to Israel can come and visit, for those of us who provide very, very necessary social welfare for the people of Israel, this will make a lot of donors say, you know what, I don't really want to donate to a country where I don't feel welcome. I'm going to keep my funding at home. And you know what? Israel, with all its flaws, with all the balagan going on, is still the ultimate insurance policy for the Jewish people. If we do not have a strong diaspora that supports us, how strong will Israel be? And if we do not have a strong Israel, we have no insurance policy for the Jewish people.
100%. And on that note, I'm going to have to leave it there. Unfortunately, Nikki's saying maybe it's time to sort this problem out once and for all, sort out this long-standing problem. Absolutely right. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, everybody, for participating. We're going to keep these SMSs.
I just want to say one thing before I dash off.
Yes.
I think, Howard, I think sharing what you and I have experienced over the last week has actually turned the tide. I'm seeing a lot more positive and supportive messages coming from our listeners than we have seen in the last couple of days.
Well, I think very often, Rolene, the people that do support are silent in their support. They kind of agree, and that's just how it is. It's people that are maybe just a bit aggressive about it, who are much more vocal. So it is nice to see. It is nice to see a lot of support. Great show. Perhaps Israel is ready for the Third Temple. Well, let's hope.